You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio from South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Casey Kuhn.
And I'm Chris Martin. This is the Daily Local News for September 23rd, 2014.
Coming up in the newscast, a street festival meant to encourage alternative forms of transportation might get denied a street closure permit, and Bloomington okays a recycling facility. But first, your daily headlines.
Today is National Voter Registration Day, and in celebration, Indiana Secretary of State Connie Lawson urges Hoosiers to use a new mobile registration app to confirm or register their vote. As part of a 50-state effort to encourage civil participation, Secretary Lawson urges all Hoosiers to take advantage of the full-service application that will also look up their polling place, get driving directions to the site, see who is on their ballot, track their application, and contact election officials. Apple users can access the app via iTunes from a mobile device or tablet by searching Indiana Voters. Android users can access it via their mobile app store by searching Indiana Voters. A full list of events to be held in celebration of National Voter Registration Day can be found at www.nationalvoterregistrationday.org.
Tonight at 7 p.m. in Wittenberg Auditorium at the IU Memorial Union, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist and documentary filmmaker Jose Antonio Vargas will speak about his life as an undocumented immigrant. His talk will follow his film Documented, which started at 5 p.m. He is a guest of the Media School Speaker Series and is perhaps best known for his work with the Washington Post on the Virginia Tech shootings in 2007 and his subsequent work for the Huffington Post on technology and health issues. Both the film and following talk are free to the public.
Senator Dan Coats has joined the group of 45 senators in sending a letter to President Obama urging him to approve the controversial Keystone XL pipeline. The letter was sent on Friday, which was the sixth anniversary of TransCanada's application to build the pipeline. Coats, one of two senators who represents Indiana, contends the project can reverse unemployment and increase America's energy independence. The letter was sent just 2 days before hundreds of thousands of climate activists rallied in New York City, many voicing opposition to the pipeline. The pipeline would transport tar sand oils from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico. The State Department estimates the project would create more than 40,000 temporary jobs during construction, but only about 50 of those jobs would be permanent.
And kids do not seem to be getting in the way of their parents' dating lives. A new study reveals single parents of kids younger than five date and are just as sexually active as singles without children. The Kinsey Institute study sampled just more than 5,800 single adults. About 2,100 of those were single parents, and over 300 were single parents with kids five or younger. One of the study's authors, Justin Garcia, says the findings were unexpected. In a press release, Garcia said, quote, "These data are counter to theory and what was previously assumed about patterns of dating and sexual behavior among U.S. singles," end quote.
Bloomington's most famous internet cat, Lil Bub, has recently partnered with the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals to help cats that are in need of extra medical care or assistance. Bub is raising money that is distributed to animal shelters throughout the country. The most recent gift went to the City of Bloomington Animal Shelter. Last week, Little Bub's Big Fund granted $2,500 to the Bloomington Animal Shelter, which will help cover the cost for the cats that need special medical attention. The goal is ultimately to prepare cats for adoption.
CVS is looking to open a new store in the heart of downtown Bloomington. The pharmacy chain wants to run its fifth Bloomington location on East Kirkwood Avenue. According to information CVS filed with the city, the new store would be open 24 hours a day in the former Old National Bank building. It will be the first proposal that is subject to Bloomington's new rules for standardized businesses downtown. Currently, Old National still owns the three-story building and the parking lot next door, according to GIS data. The property is valued at more than $4 million. The city's Board of Zoning Appeals is scheduled to consider the project at a meeting Thursday afternoon.
Workers are beginning sidewalk construction this week on a road that is notorious for being a pedestrian hazard. Monroe County Highway Department Director Bill Williams said September 26th that crews were ready to go on the project on Leonard Springs Road. For years, pedestrians have walked in or near the busy section of the road, which is popular for those walking between Walmart and nearby apartment complexes. Williams spoke at a meeting of the county commissioners.
I'm requesting the commissioners ratify the contract with Groomer Construction Incorporated for the construction of the sidewalk on Leonard Springs. The project is scheduled to begin on Monday and hopefully be finished by the end of October.
So, 20 months ago?
Something along that line. Yes.
I mean, the hang-up was land and right-of-way acquisition, right?
Which is typical, yes.
The project is estimated to cost $68,000. The commissioners all voted to approve the contract.
The Richland Bean Blossom School Board approved a budget for 2015 in their meeting on Monday, September 15th. While last year the Richland Bean Blossom School Corporation was operating over budget, an increase in student enrollment allowed additional funds to come into the district this year. RBBCSC Superintendent Mike Wilcox introduced the new budget during the public hearing at the board meeting.
Our numbers are up, which is very encouraging. Over last year, we are over 2,900 complete student enrollment, so that's very encouraging. Our cash balance a year ago today was negative $422,915. Today, we are positive $410,768. So we are very pleased to share that with everyone. That is very, very good progress. We want to continue that.
RBBCSC receives $5,160 per student from the state of Indiana. Wilcox says the increased enrollment reflects on the quality of the school system and the replacement of teaching positions that were cut due to budgets in the past.
We have what I think is a very good budget. It meets our needs. We're able to do some things and give ourselves a little bit of breathing room that we hadn't experienced in the last couple years, so that's very, very positive. And again, it starts with our increased enrollment, and I think that goes back to our administrators, our teachers. We put forth a wonderful product, and I think our community has responded to that, and people want to bring their kids to RBB, so that's all very, very positive, and that's very reflective in the general fund. And all we have been able to replace a number of our teaching staff that we lost 4 or 5 years ago in cuts. So that's been very, very positive.
Board President Dana Kerr said that the balanced budget will allow the school corporation to now focus on long-range planning.
It is much better news than we had received in previous years, and that's a blessing, and we acknowledge that. You know, we will be in the near future looking at a facilities plan, both short term and long range. Right now, we don't have a long range plan, and so I think it will really help our corporation be ready for things in the future, and to as Walcott was saying, to make sure that we keep up with what needs to be done. And so I'm looking forward to that process going on over the next several months.
The total budget for the school corporation for 2015 is over $26 million, which is more than $1 million larger than the 2014 budget.
The Monroe County Solid Waste Management District passed a resolution to amend their capital improvement fund to comply with changes in state code. Larry Barker, executive director of the Solid Waste Management District, said the county was already in compliance with state code, but that the resolution formalized the establishment of a capital improvement fund.
Going back into the history of the district, we found that the capital improvement fund was already in existence, but it was in the wrong code for today. So that's why we're just taking something that's already in existence and applying the correct code to it. Some people call it housekeeping. I like to have it in a resolution so everybody knows what's going on.
The resolution passed unanimously. Board President Steve Vallon praised the decision.
This is a welcome change. More importantly, I think it's nice to know that we had already had the ability to have a fund on the books this whole time, and we're just reviving a function that we had before.
The board also heard a resolution to move forward with plans for a dual stream materials recovery facility, consistent with the county's original 20-year plan. Board member Julie Thomas explained this was in addition to recent decisions regarding a clean stream MRF.
This is what we've been calling a dual stream MRF, just so the public understands. We've already approved the last meeting the creation of a facility to bail clean, quote unquote, clean recyclables. So this is the second tier of that work.
The motion passed 4-1 with board member Iris Kissling voting against the resolution to move forward with the district-owned and operated materials recovery facility.
New data from the U.S. Census Bureau places Bloomington in fifth place for fastest-growing cities in the nation. Three categories were studied from the 500 largest American cities, including population, employment, and median income for workers. Preceded in economic growth by Boulder, Colorado, College Station, Texas, Lawrence, Massachusetts, and Muncie, Indiana, Bloomington's growth in population and average earnings steadily continues. This news comes in addition to Bloomington's recent listing as Best City for Work-Life Balance in the U.S. by Forbes.
Indiana University President Michael A. McRobbie is set to deliver the annual State of the University Address on October 14th. The address will begin at 1 p.m. on the Indiana University Purdue University Indianapolis campus at Hine Hall. The purpose of the State of the University Address is to disclose the progress of the university's objectives from the past year and to outline its future goals. It is open to all members of the IU community and the general public to view in person or via live stream at broadcast.iu.edu. You're listening to the Daily Local News. I'm Chris Martin.
And I'm Casey Kuhn. Support for the Daily Local News comes from Smithville, a local provider of internet, phone, and TV service over a stabilized fiber optic network, serving Monroe, Greene, Owen, Lawrence, Brown, and Morgan counties. More information on Smithville's full line of services is available at 812-876-2211 or smithville.net.
After many proposals and many discussions, a government-owned and operated recycling facility has been approved. Clarissa Barrett has the report.
Reporting for WFHB, this is Carissa. Monroe County will be processing its own recyclables in a matter of months. The County Council approved a budget September 17th that includes money to build a materials recovery facility, or MRF. Officials at the County Solid Waste Management District have debated for years whether to build the facility. Currently, the district pays a private company, Republic Services, to haul away its recyclables. But District Board President Steve Voland said it's not always clear what happens to those materials.
Going back into the history of the district, we found that the Capital Improvement Fund was already in existence, but it was in the wrong code for today. So that's why we're just taking something that's already in existence and applying the correct code to it. Some people call it housekeeping. I like to have it in a resolution so everybody knows what's going on.
Voland told the council there is money to be made on recycling. He said the district just needs to build a facility to bail and store the materials.
This is a welcome change. More importantly, I think it's nice to know that we had already had the ability to have a fund on the books this whole time, and we're just reviving a function that we had before.
The district's budget only includes money for what is known as a clean stream MRF. The facility will only process recyclables that are pre-sorted. Debate continues about whether to add on a more complex and expensive function called a waste stream MRF. That kind of facility would actually remove recyclable material from the garbage. County Council President Joff McKim said many people seem to be confused about the two different functions.
This is what we've been calling a dual stream MRF, just so the public understands. We've already approved the last meeting the creation of a facility to bail clean, quote unquote, clean recyclables. So this is the second tier of that work.
The council later voted to approve the district's budget, which also includes a 5% raise for district employees. These employees have not had a raise since 2011. Reporting for WFHB, this is Carissa.
An event meant to examine the use of streets to encourage healthy living and community may be denied a permit based on inappropriate use of streets. The Open Streets Bloomington event, scheduled to be held on Sunday, October 5th, will be heard at tonight's Board of Public Works meeting and is expected to face opposition. Board member Charlotte Zietlow says that the first annual Open Streets event held last fall had a slight bit of opposition, and tonight the three-member board will also voice their concerns.
We have a three-member board, and there will only be two of us there tonight. And one of the members last year, who Dr. Frankhurst Mollis, voted against it, which he never does, but he won't be there tonight. But I know that James McNamara has very serious reservations about using the streets.
This is the first time the event is coming in front of the board this year, and the final opportunity for approval since the board doesn't meet again before October 5th. Maya Michelson, Assistant Director for the Arts for the City of Bloomington Economic and Sustainable Development Department, is the supporting staff member for the project. Michelson says typically organizations would present their proposals well in advance of their scheduled event.
We encourage petitioners to come to us really early so that we don't have a situation where it's sort of a, you know, that we don't have another meeting or two to talk it out or something like that. So we encourage a conversation earlier rather than later as it relates to closures. That being said, you know, there's always a possibility of a special meeting, but that would again mean that both members would have to be available for a special meeting. It has to be publicly noticed and be in an accessible location and all that sort of things.
The proposal for the event includes closing 7th Street from the B line into the near West Side neighborhood at Elm Street to traffic for the majority of the day. Open Street organizers expressed concern today through Facebook postings and a message that went out to the Near West Side Neighborhood Association that their event would not get approved and that the board might not understand exactly what it is the event is trying to do. Zietlow explained her understanding of the proposal.
What they're proposing is a closing the street off from Beeline Trail to Elm Street, which is right along Banneker School, and as I understand it, they've got a number of activities that they want to position along the street. The idea is to get cars off the street and to let people use the streets as that kind of playground, and to just show what I gather that the intent is to say, if we had no cars on the streets, we could be doing other things on streets. So the question arises is, why do we have streets?
The Open Streets website differentiates the International Open Streets Movement from other events that typically block streets like art fairs, charity runs, and parades, stating the benefits of an Open Streets event is to be about encouraging physical activity, broadening transportation choices, and encouraging economic development. Michelson said she could not think of a direct economic impact the event would have, as it's not a ticketed event, and there are not goods being sold. Zietlow also mentioned that the event does not support a charity the way other street closure events typically do. The afternoon media campaign by the organizers of Open Streets seemed to already be having an effect, and Zietlow said she was starting to hear from the public in support of the event.
Just now, I'm just looking at my emails and have gotten 3 or 4 emails supporting it. So this is unusual for the things that we act on. I think it's frequently pro forma, but there are more questions about the length of time, the streets, the whether or not this ultimately is a legitimate use of streets. There's no charitable goal that this group is raising money for.
The Open Streets event is set to coincide with a day-long celebration of cycling at the Buskirk Chumley Theater, and was the recipient of the proceeds that came from the $12,000 raised at the Clips of Faith Film Festival in Bryant Park this summer. The hearing regarding the Open Streets event will take place at the Board of Public Works meeting this evening, beginning at 5:30 in the Council Chambers at City Hall. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Casey Kuhn.
And I'm Chris Martin. Support for WFHB comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli, your locally grown co-op grocery since 1976. Blooming Foods features natural, organic, local, and fair trade food and garden items with support for small farmers, co-op producers, and local food artisans. Blooming Foods Market and Deli on 2nd and Fest at Elms Heights, on East 3rd near College Mall, West 6th near the Courthouse Square, and right up your alley at Kirkwood and Dunn.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB, supported by Smithville, your Indiana communications company, at smithville.net. and by Blooming Foods Market and Deli, your locally grown co-op grocery. Today's headlines were written by Kathy Norton, Linda Green, Stephen Williamson, and Danielle Flume, along with Allison Bechtesh and Joe Crawford for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services.
Our engineer today is Carissa Barrett. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Managing producer is Joe Crawford. Executive producer is Allison Bechtesh. For WFHB, I'm Chris Martin.
And I'm Casey Kuhn. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program, recognized among the best newscast and breaking news coverage in 2013 by the Indiana Professional Chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
And you can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org. Now stay tuned for Interchange, Bloomington Community Radio's longest-running public affairs program, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.